Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on the award-winning Close Up Radio, which is a service of the Telly Award-winning Close Up Television and Radio. Pleasure to have you with us today, 2 p.m. Eastern, here at our broadcast center. It is September 16th, 2021, a Thursday, at the time of this live broadcast, which is also being recorded and archived, so you can hear it again. Later on, you can share the links with family, friends, and colleagues. We're continuing our exclusive and in-depth conversation with Kenny Lehman of Kleeman Consulting, LLC. Now, we're talking about leadership, which is really important. Leadership works best, you know, when we are our most authentic selves and aligned with our values. Kenny's story is one of embracing who we truly are. Talked about some of that in the first part, and I encourage you to go back to part one and hear the episode. As a CIA operative for 24 years, Kenny lived deep undercover developing relationships with potential intelligence assets. But he actually lived under two covers. He was a gay Mormon man in the closet to everyone, including the wife and three kids. Duty-driven and service-oriented, he had an important mission and a great family life to go with it, but not necessarily aligned with who he was at the core. So just to refresh or to introduce folks who are listening brand new for the first time to this episode in this series, at the age of 47, Kenny decided he could no longer continue living what he considered a lie and revealed the truth of who he was to the family and employer. Today, he brings some of that same sense of personal integrity, which is so crucial and so valuable and so important, to his work as an executive coach, consultant, and educator. He says what he's done in his life is to really center himself around value-based living. Values-based living and values-based leadership is essential because his story resonates with so many people because, you know, you're constantly reinventing ourselves. We all are. And this great pause we've had in the last 18 months has given us time to do that as well. Leaders also need to adjust, adapt, and align themselves and their organizations with their values. So as a coach, he helps people and teams discover, decide, and do what matters because many individuals struggle with allowing others to understand who they really are. Very few people know the pain of that more than Kenny. When he discovered coaching, he rediscovered his connection to a mission. His mission now is to embolden people to drop cover and live their full personal and professional selves. And that's a beautiful thing he's doing. It's impactful, life-changing work that Kenny's doing. And he shared some of it with us in part one. We're going to go a little deeper in part two, and we welcome everybody for joining us. And we welcome Kenny joining us from Ashburn, Virginia as well. Kenny, welcome to Close Up Radio once again for part two of our series. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. I look forward to the discussion.
You're very, very welcome. You know, I always like to ask the guests at the outset, what are some of the things in their own life's journey that inspired them to do the work that they do? It's obvious that you want to do this work, coaching and helping others and sort of mentoring in the way that you do, but it's also in your DNA. You have to do this kind of work. So after that illustrious career in the CIA, how were you introduced to coaching? But also you have to have, you know, you could be introduced, but it's got to be in you. It's got to be in your DNA. You have to have that inspiration, which you obviously have had. Tell us about some of those inspirations and your introductions to coaching.
So I was always involved in sports, and I gained a great respect for my sports coaches. And I bring that up initially because often over the past 10 years when I've said I'm a coach, people say, oh, are you talking about Little League or baseball? And
yeah.
I had actually become a Little League baseball and assistant tennis coach for my children's teams. But when I began to hear about life coaches, it made me extremely curious and made me realize that I had actually had one or more life coaches without that title who had helped me discover who I am and how I wanted to live. Near the end of my CIA career, I became really heavily involved in mentoring, teaching, and leadership development, and I actually learned of the CIA's internal coaching program, but I never participated in it formally. In Afghanistan, I was actually selected to be the senior officer or the coach for all of the junior officers in country. As soon as I retired from government, I started consulting and teaching around the world, and my closest friend and confidant in the CIA had retired a few years before me and became a professional certified coach. Every time I was with her, she said, you know, Kenny, you're a natural coach, and you should consider getting your certification. She kept telling me how fulfilling it was to be a coach, and she assured me it would be a perfect fit, and she was right. So it struck a chord with me because I was really feeling a gap, and I had a gaping hole since leaving the CIA. That intense sense of mission and impact was missing in my life, and I believed that being a coach and educator would bring that back, and it has.
That's wonderful. I mean, that's like an aha moment for you, I'm sure, and very enriching, and it makes you feel so super connected and super connected with humanity. So kudos to you for wanting to do that. You could have easily, you know, just said, I was in a tough job with the CIA, not easy, and could have just rested on those laurels of a, you know, illustrious career and been in Florida with a banana colada with your feet in the sand, but you just have this in you, this burning desire to want to reach people and touch people and help them through. So that's a really fantastic thing that you're doing. Do you typically share your story with your clients? Because it's obviously so incredibly powerful, it could even be a movie.
You know, Jim, I hear that a lot regarding the movie. And
yeah,
I am, in fact, working on a book. So who knows where that will go. But to answer your question, we'll see. It's a difficult thing. It's actually another element of, okay, if I write the book, right, dropping cover even more. And so, but whether I share my story with a client depends on the client and the relationship and the level of trust. So this actually still is a very private issue for me, except I guess now until last week and today's interview with you. And it's a huge step for me to begin to share my story with the whole world. So each time I tell my story, though, or share it, it's as if I'm dropping cover all over again, and I don't know how people will react, especially in a professional setting. So what I've realized, however, is that the more I do it, the more positive I feel and the more I witness the positive effect that my story has on others. And I've never had a client react negatively. In fact, most of them thank me for sharing and for my willingness to be vulnerable, which enables them at times to bring forward that vulnerability and to share their space. I always say give to get, in the sense that if I give of myself, I get more from them. And that's been part, and that is a dynamic of that decision, Jim, to share or not to share my story.
Isn't it amazing how that works sometimes? As you do, it sort of is very cathartic and therapeutic for you as much as it is for the recipient of the story. And that's sort of that full circle situation. You know, when you help others, you tend to be receiving help through that opportunity at the same time, which is absolutely extraordinary. The folks that you work with, how do people discover you and decide that they want to work with you? In terms of, like, what are some of the things you find today that people are struggling with, the issues that they're having? Obviously, the last 18 months plus have thrown a lot of different things our way at all levels. Doesn't matter your zip code, your wealth, your political views, your gender, nothing. This has affected all of us in a really deep human way. So I would imagine some of the clients are really reaching out. How do they discover you, and how do they decide, you know, that they want to work with you? What are some of the things they're dealing with?
It's a good question. The principal way that people have come to me and I engage with clients is word of mouth. So I have worked with one individual, and that individual refers me. And also through relationships with other coaches, where we have our niche, and I may, as I do, I work on leadership. Another individual may work more on wellness. And as things emerge with our various clients, we then share back and forth. I became involved with leadership through some contracts with government organizations, and then also with some contracts with corporations. And I have a website, which is on your page today. It's kennylehman.com, all one word, Kenny Lehman. And the website is valuable. A lot of people go to it once we have met or once I have interviewed with them, but it has not generated a lot of clients, which is fine by me because I like having the personal connection from a personal referral, and rather than it just being a cold call. So the issue I think that I would highlight relative to what people are dealing with is COVID has really brought to the forefront this issue of what matters. And that's one of the reasons I had a What Matters seminar, but I really expanded it to this Discover, Decide, and Do What Matters based on what people were bringing to me in the sense of, I just lost my father from COVID, or I lost a sibling, or I had two clients who were in their 50s and separate. Both of them came to me and said, I am struggling because I just lost a subordinate who was in their 20s and they left children behind. And I'm now looking at, how do I lead? How do I help them focus? How do we find this balance? Is work more important than life? And that has been a dilemma for a lot of people, but coaching gives them the balance, and it helps them to emote when sometimes they're frightened to share with other individuals. The intimate developed relationship that you have with a coach is sometimes the closest and the most personal that you'll have with anyone. So COVID has been a real shift for a lot of people and made me realize the coach I need to be. And empathy, I'm becoming an emotional intelligence specialist because I'm finding that's key to everything we do. So balance. Who am I? Am I going to work more? Am I going to work less? And how much time am I going to give to the things that I love and cherish?
You know, emotional intelligence is really an incredible thing, and being aware of it and the empathetic component to it, you're so right. A lot of people are realizing what really matters, and this great pause we've had has shifted so many things in our lives in so many unique ways and different ways that we've had to either cope with or adjust to, be flexible about, and or welcome, and there's been some really fantastic opportunities. As much as it's been horrific, there have been some wonderful opportunities for leaders to rise to the occasion in all realms of life, and instant leaders being created on the spot, people rolling up their sleeves, pitching in, helping, making sure the train stays on the track. You've probably seen a lot of that, right?
I have, and it's a very good point. The whole virtual, the whole remote leadership challenge it emerges with me on a daily basis. Even though we've been in this 18 months, there are still challenges in the sense of, how do I connect with a new hire, because many organizations are still hiring new team members. How do I connect over Zoom or over Teams, all virtual, all video, and or just phone calls? And we actually talk about those techniques and how emotional intelligence plays into that, in the sense of, are you transmitting most of the time or also in receive mode? How well do you listen? And what are the leadership qualities that are new? There is a new paradigm to leadership and to being a member of a team that I don't care if you've been a leader for 20 years. The pandemic has given everyone a whole new, has thrust change at them that they've never experienced before. I also have a focus on what's called VUCA, and it's volatility, uncertainty, complexity, and ambiguity. And I've never in my life seen so much VUCA. Everyone is dealing with uncertainty and ambiguity. Where I focus is what I call VUCA positive, and that is moving from that negative VUCA to vision, understanding, clarity, and agility, and helping leaders to know, what leader do I need to be today? I'm not just going to rest on the leader I have been, and I'm not going to assume that my team is where I need them to be. I need to listen intently. I need to really, really reach out, and relationships and rapport and caring, camaraderie, that people feel connectivity thanks to Zoom, thanks to the telephone, thanks to whatever, but where's the connectedness? I may have connectivity, but do I feel connected? And I really, really try to focus on that.
Exactly right. Yes. That's what I've been saying, too. We might be connected in a technological way, but there's also the human connection that we don't want to ever
right.
lose, because that's far more important. Would you say, Kenny, are you the, and I'm sure the audience is probably wondering this as well, are you the, or would you consider yourself the happy person today you couldn't be back then?
You know, thanks for asking that. Doug asked me that, and I've thought a lot about it since Doug and I spoke about it. I told Doug, happy is very relative. There are a lot of variations. But the angle for me now, which I've come to realize, is I am now completely me. I no longer live a cover. And that fear that I lived with daily, hourly, it's gone. And that alone, Jim, I want people to hear this. This absence of fear or that requirement to live a cover, it gives you space for so much more happiness, joy, and energy to contribute. So in that regard, I'm much happier. But there was a lot of happy in my previous life and a lot that was right. So the angle that I bring, I think, that makes me unique is I know what it means to live a cover. And I also am learning everyone lives a cover. Everyone has something that they cover that requires that they expend energy hiding. And when we do that, because we only have, we have an energy resource, each of us. We only have so much energy capacity. When we expend energy on a cover, it diminishes our happiness because it diminishes our ability to contribute, to lead, and or just to live.
Yeah, that's right, exactly. And sometimes taking the masks off seems easier said than done, but when you do in different ways, in different forms, whether you just rip it off or you gingerly take it off with baby steps, extraordinarily liberating, and you sort of attract a whole new energy, but you don't know until you try. And that's where you really help your clients, right? I mean, you are there for them. You are non-judgmental. You're an empathetic ear. Or you're a listener. You form this wonderful bond of trust between you and them, them and you, because I would imagine they will be sharing with you things that they don't even share with their closest loved ones and friends, right?
It's the very true statement. It is. It's sometimes surprising the depths that people are able to go, not just willing, but able. Because a lot of people go into a coaching relationship expecting that it will be professional only. And I have, at the very beginning of my discussions with potential clients, always said, I need you to understand that when we coach together, I want you to bring the full 360-degree person. So if I were coaching with Jim, with you, Jim, I would say, I need to have the freedom to discuss with you professional and personal, because personal affects professional and professional impacts personal in a significant way. And therefore, when we begin to peel back those layers, that the rapport grows, but also the trust and the confidence. We all have a trust circle. Who's in our innermost trust circle? Who's in the secondary circle? Who's in the periphery? And coaching enables some people who have never, ever gone to those depths before and been fully honest with themselves to have in their coach a confidant and to oftentimes drop cover in the coaching. And that is such a release. I know it. I've lived it. It took me 47 years to realize that I could no longer live my cover, you know, covering up that I'm a gay man. And dropping CIA cover was far less difficult than that. And I think people witness that, whether I share my story about coming out as a gay man. Everyone knows that I was undercover under CIA, because I'm now no longer undercover, and I'm officially able to say I was CIA and I no longer am. That's one of the reasons, Jim, that a lot of people come to me to coach with me, is they read my bio or they hear from others and they say, well, if he was able to handle CIA, then he's got some unique perspectives, and they like having some of those perspectives.
Exactly. It's so apropos that you're in the CIA and talking about cover, because, like you said, you know, everybody has something that cover, or their, you know, the actor's mask that everybody tends to wear, and then sometimes only when you're comfortable or made to feel comfortable do you loosen that or remove it, which is quite a thing and a very important and an impactful thing. I'd love to talk about your methodology. What do you think makes what you do unique and different? There's a lot of coaches out there. There's a lot of people that do all kinds of things to help others. What is it about your approach, your expertise, your methodology that stands out, that is unique, that your clients seem to really resonate with?
I'm glad you bring that up, because I highlight on my website that there are thousands of coaches out there, but I am different. So why am I different? I'm different first and foremost because the CIA experience led me to live and travel to over 75 countries. So exposure in and of itself enhances our ability and our professional intuition. The awareness that I bring of not just one culture, not just the American culture, but the global culture, and situational awareness. And I also have learned a great deal from my engagement with other government entities, not just American government entities, but global government entities, and particularly the U.S. military. My master's degree is from one of our national war colleges, and the military has, for years and years, for decades, a term that they've used. It's called tactics, techniques, and procedures. And I utilize these TTPs, as I call them, or tools, and I bring tangibles. So every time I speak with an individual, I share with them that we have an objective, and that is to find a tool, to find a technique and or a procedure that will help them to tackle complex issues. And I go to the KISS principle, keeping it simple, in saying the simplest techniques are the best way to handle or address complex issues. And when someone can walk away from a coaching session or the full coaching with tools that they can incorporate rather than just talking, rather than just pontificating, or I always say to people when we first start, you need to understand I am somewhat directive, I am somewhat demanding, I have high expectations, and I'm not just about chit-chat. So we're not going to be just sitting and talking. We're going to come away with actionable techniques, things that you can use to actually progress and to see movement. And as a coach, I expect that. And I bring that out in my clients and all of them. I have never had a client who at the end says, oh, this was a waste of time. Most of them are literally able to say, and this is what gets me up in the morning, Ken, you're helping to change my life and to change my leadership style. I received an email last night from an individual who said that we've been working together off and on for 3 years, and I just completed work with his new team of nearly 20 people, and he said, Kenny, we're in a new place as a result of our coaching with you, and you have vaulted me into a whole new leadership journey. And so I'm very much about action and tangibles.
Which is perfect. That's what you need. That's what really facilitates what's happening. What do you see? We've got about, let's take a look at it. We've got about a minute and a half left for the future of KEL Institute. Tell us about some of the things that you're excited about for the future.
I really hope that this is the beginning of a new beginning that leads to greater exposure, tangible opportunities, and new opportunities to expand my influence as an individual, a coach, and an educator. I thought long and hard about whether I would actually do this and kind of come out all over again and be on a program where there may be thousands or who knows how many individuals listening. So dropping cover like this has enabled me to have greater energy and to move in positive directions. So what I see in the future is being able to reach at least one individual who is struggling like I was, and to have that realization that working with Kenny, I can drop my cover. I can gain confidence. I can eliminate this fear, and I can emerge. And I'll also say, just to be very honest, I love public speaking. I would love some additional public speaking engagements where I reach a broader audience. And if you're listening, Anderson Cooper, I would love to have an interview with Anderson Cooper. To be able to, I empathize with him and the things he's gone through and his ability to change lives and just to have some more public exposure.
And if folks would like to make contact, the website is www.kennylehman.com. That's KennyLehman.com. Kenny, thanks so much for joining us. These half hours go by in a New York minute, but a real pleasure and an honor speaking with you. Thanks for being so open and authentic and inspiring in our series in Close Up Radio, and I really hope we get a chance to chat some more down the line. That'd be a pleasure.
I would welcome that, and I appreciate working with you today. It's been great.
You're very welcome. You keep up the amazing work you're doing because you are changing lives, and it's work that is impactful and extraordinary. And like I said, you know, you could have easily been relaxing and retired, but it's within your DNA to want to help people, and it's a wonderful story and legacy that you have that is building. We thank Kenny for joining us here on the show, and again, we thank you all around the world for joining us on Close Up Radio. This episode is recorded in its entirety, so you can hear it again and share the links for those you think would get great value from this conversation. Stay tuned. We'll be back in less than 30 minutes with another amazing guest celebrated right here for you on Close Up Radio. Till then, for all of us, Jim Masters here saying have a terrific day, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.